The following segment is from The Look Ahead on the SB Nation NFL Show, where we're discussing your favorite team. Subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show to make sure you don't miss conversations like this one. We wanted to get a little more perspective on Philip Rivers, and the first person I thought of is someone that I had the pleasure of listening to, and not just me, everybody had the pleasure of listening to when he was the radio voice of the then San Diego Chargers, and that is Josh Lewin. So I am very happy to be able to bring you and be joined by Josh Lewin, who for years was the voice of Philip Rivers and those Chargers. How are you, Josh?
Great to be here, Rob. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. And it's obviously a big day. I mean, it's not the biggest news of the day by far, nationally or internationally, but for Chargers fans, I mean, it's a day we all knew was coming, and it's here, and he rides off into the sunset, still without that Super Bowl ring, which is a shame, but fifth all time in passing yards, I think it is, and I think a Hall of Fame career.
Now, we've seen Philip Rivers, the player, and we've seen the things he's done on the field, and he's been great, but in terms of just characters and people in the history of the NFL, I mean, he is one of the all-time greats, you know, just going out trash talking, wearing the bolo tie in the press conferences. I'm sure you got to interact with him more than most. What is your sort of favorite Philip Rivers story?
Well, they all kind of jumble together, but you hit on all the keynotes. I mean, just a genuine guy, and you know, it was never a put on. This is the most PG rated fun human being that I've ever met. And, you know, just the spirit of competition would just grip him so fully. And I think those that didn't know him oftentimes got the exact wrong idea. I thought he was some punk or whatever. He just so enjoyed competing. And I would think it's, you know, we've all seen that guy or been with that guy and pick up basketball. It just, you know, loves talking. But when it's done, he's the guy that's buying the beverages or, you know, just kind of hanging out with you and just, you know, recapping what happened. Just an absolute swell guy. You know, I mean, if I can put it in PG parlance for you. I mean, I know that it didn't always look like that, but he just absolutely loved his job and worked at it harder than anybody I ever saw in football.
Josh, I think that's well said. I've always thought of Philip as kind of like the Pixar of NFL quarterbacks, like, you know, cartoony in nature and in that he's like, you know, acceptable to children and things like that, but still really full of heart and really full of something sometimes spicy and funny and whatever the case may be. And really, I think, underrated overall. I hope that landed with you. But everybody knows about the torn ACL game. That's kind of one of the most famous Philip Rivers moments. But you saw, obviously, so much more Philip Rivers football than most. What's kind of a game or a moment that you feel like isn't talked about enough from Philip? Maybe it was just one quarter or one drive or something, but it could have been week six in a regular season that just kind of doesn't get the same lure that particular playoff moment does.
You know, what's funny is the only Chargers game I ever missed was a conflict with a playoff game. I'd even been a World Series game when I was doing the Mets, and I couldn't get to Green Bay. And they lost that game, but he threw for something like 531 yards, and they only scored 24 points, which is impossible. Keenan Allen was on his way to like a 25-catch day. They couldn't cover him. He was targeted 15 times, caught 14, and that was in basically 2.25 quarters, and then he got hurt. There were a lot of games like that where he just put the team on his back and never got great protection after the 14-2 season, which is the year they really should have won it all. There were a lot of other seasons where they came close, but you know, just top of my head, there was a game in Houston where his number one receiver ended up being Shea Ajiratutu. You know, he's like number six on the depth chart, and he threw two late fourth quarter touchdowns to Ajiratutu to somehow beat the Texans. And you know, he'd do stuff like that, and because it was San Diego against Houston, nobody really paid attention. But that's just stunning stuff. And he would do that all the time, a lot of times with the decimated offensive line after LT left. You know, sometimes he had no running game. He just found a way, never complained about it, and was a consummate teammate.
You mentioned the 14-2 year. I think that people would view Philip Rivers' career totally differently if he had either A, gotten to a Super Bowl, or B, won one. Do you think if they had been able to work things out with Marty Schottenheimer that he eventually would have gotten over the top?
Well, you know, the game that just killed him, obviously, is that game against New England in that 14-2 season where they basically did about 14 things wrong. Everybody remembers the Marlon McCree incident, and they, you know, there was a Drayton Florence headbutt. I mean, I could go down the whole list, but they got wiped out way too early as a one seed that year. And the year that they actually got to the AFC title game, you know, that was just some bad luck. I mean, that's not only was Philip playing with a torn MCL, which is incredible, but he didn't have Gates. He didn't have LT. You know, he had Michael Turner and, you know, just the supporting cast of not a lot. And they still had more scores than New England that day. The problem was it was four field goals to get to 12. And New England had three touchdowns to get to 21. And Norv decided to punt the ball with 9.5 minutes to go. And they never got the ball back, trailing by nine. They just one third down completion after another. So things like that, where he would get close and it just wouldn't happen. And I have no doubt that they would have found a way to win that Super Bowl had they gotten there. They didn't get there. And that was a David Tyree catch for the Giants that year to win the Super Bowl instead. So it's unfortunate. Yeah, you know, people say, well, Eli's a lock to go in because he's got the Super Bowl rings. And, you know, you give Philip one and he'd be a lock too. Instead, we're going to have this goofy debate about it. But to me, he was a Hall of Famer the moment he got to 50,000 passing yards, and he ends up with something like 64,000. So I'm good.
Philip signed his retirement statement with, I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, Nunk Cuppy. I've heard him talk about this before. And as I understand it, it kind of embodies the way he looks at life, which to everything you've said is really just about centering himself within his faith and his approach to his family and his teammates, the consummate teammate, as you said. Is that something that, you know, was apparent even, you know, during TV timeouts and things like that, things that only you saw, Philip just kind of embodying this, you know, life is about moving on and new beginnings in every capacity?
Yeah, and basically play the ball where it lies, you know, to put it in golf terms. And that, you know, Nunc Coepi, and I didn't take Latin. I learned it from Philip Rivers, for God's sake. I learned Latin from Philip Rivers. Let that sink in. But it means now I begin. You know, it means that this is where I'm going to start from, is right now. And that could mean the next play. That could mean the next game. For now, it means the next page of his career. I hope he gets into radio or TV. I think he'd be just an absolute killer in that space. You know, he's going to be the next great. I mean, it's like, you know, Tony Romo, but with the Alabama accent. You know, I think it could really be something great for the game. You know, total family man, total community-minded, civic-minded individual. You know, I can't say enough great things about him. And when you read the comments from all of his teammates today, and I'm sure in coming days, you'll know it's not just the radio guy that says that. I mean, he really made a difference to a lot of people.
Speaking of broadcasters, I got to say, I think Philip Rivers like sharpened you as a broadcaster, because every game Philip Rivers did, they'd get the ball back with like 2 minutes to go, no timeouts, down four. That was like every week for you with Philip Rivers.
You're exactly right. And only about one out of four times towards the end would they actually stick it in the end zone. You know, I mean, and so it got a little unfortunate a lot of the times. And I actually, you know, jumped off the gig before it got even worse. I mean, you know, the litany of one score games that they lost even this year without him was just ridiculous. But yeah, you know, and it's funny because I distinctly remember, you know, my first year when Drew Brees was still the quarterback and we were calling him Phil. You know, we didn't know that he was Philip Rivers. We just, you know, well, you know, we'll never see the backup Phil Rivers because we never had to. You know, Drew Brees was the man, and then he got hurt the very last game of the year against Denver, chasing a ball that was rolling around in the end zone. And that is how Philip Rivers came to be. And if you look back at his first real start, I mean, they gave him a nonsense start some week 17 before I got there, and I missed that. But when he opened that next season, they did major training wheels for him. I think it was something like, I mean, just off the top of my head, but I think he was something like 10 for 13 against the Raiders. It was a 27-0 shutout to open the season. They beat the Raiders. They didn't let him do squat. You know, they just said hand off to LT and that's it, you know. And only as that season unfurled did we understand, okay, you know what? They had the right guy all along. This guy can absolutely bring it. And there were some good moments where he'd rally the team. There were unfortunately more moments where it would die just a little bit short. and he'd take off the helmet and have that look on his face that everybody came to know so well. He deserved a lot more than he got. And that goes for accolades, that goes for trophies. But, every teammate would jump up and say he was the best quarterback I ever worked with.
I think he also was the victim of bad luck, might not be the best way to term it, but, he has the misfortune of Peyton Manning choosing the AFC West, has the misfortune of Patrick Mahomes being drafted by the Chiefs, and obviously dealing with a lot of things within the Chargers. And I mean, dealt with a lot of change, dealt with a city change, so much was made about the Rams moving. I mean, obviously, moving within the state is not the exact same thing, but still, I mean, a big deal. I'll allow you to say that it's too soon to tell if you want to, take that, but people are going to ask whether Philip is a Hall of Famer or not. Is he the greatest quarterback in Chargers history? Obviously, there is a Hall of Famer in the franchise's, accolades.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. Dan Fouts never got him to a Super Bowl. Stan Humphries did. Fouts put up great numbers at a time when the passing game obviously wasn't what it is now. And Justin Herbert could end up being the best of everybody, the way he started out. But there was a time, and it lasted a good chunk of years where the numbers 17, 21, and 85 would kind of stand in tandem at Qualcomm Stadium, and you loved that holy trinity of Rivers, Gates, and Tomlinson. And nationally, it didn't get a lot of play, but man, you can't. And then when Sean Merriman showed up, that number 56 jersey started popping on the defensive side of the field. People loved that. Those were four celebrities in San Diego for about a half a decade together. And it was a great time that they never won everything that they should have won. And that's super unfortunate. But, Philip definitely is the standard bearer of that era, was always a spokesperson of the team. And he's a Hall of Fame human being, but I think the stats are, to me, it's an easy rolling putt to say this guy's a Hall of Famer.
You've talked a little bit of golf here. What's Phillip's golf game like? Do you know? Because he's got time now.
I'm not much of a golfer, so I never was with him, never played. I heard, he's good at everything, ping pong and the whole thing. What he's got time for now, he'll either coach or he'll broadcast. I mean, football is just so much in his blood. And, people make the jokes about how he's got his own football team because he's got the 9 kids and a wife. they got 11, so strap it up. But he'll find time to do something in the game. I just think it means too much to him.
You can hear the rest of this conversation by subscribing to the SB Nation NFL Show wherever you get your podcasts.